The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. While you're turning there, we've certainly experienced a great conference, great night last night. Still reflecting on that quite a bit. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And I want to ask if you would today, I know that we come to the conference, it's about renew. And a lot of what we have heard while we've been here is certainly about the Lord being able to add to our church and we not getting in His way of doing that. Would you agree with that? What I'm saying is I understand we're supposed to work, but without His working, nothing happens. And what we want to do is be not a hindrance to what He wants to do in our church. He adds to His church. I'll say it again. He adds to His church. I know I'm supposed to be positive up here, but you know there's problems in churches? And this morning I want to address a possible problem that can come up in our church. If you're a pastor here and maybe have been pastor in 10 years or less, one of the things that you really want to work on in your church is building trust. Because without that foundation of trust, you can never do something in this magnitude. And I remember Pastor Chappell in those first 10 years working and building and having those men's meetings and having those functions where trust was being built. Now you say, well, what after 10 years? Well, you're still building trust, but at least you got a foundation. And may I say, it's not only the congregation's trust in the Lord, it's the congregation's trust in each other. Because we have to trust in each other. May I say to you that one of the characters in the Bible that exemplifies this is kind of an unusual character. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 9 and look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah." And you may say, well, what does Mephibosheth have to do with trust? Mephibosheth, I want you to see in verse number 12, was now a father. He's not a young boy anymore. He's a father. He's, I don't know what age, maybe he's 25, maybe he's 30. But I want you to see that he's an adult man when the Lord has David to come looking for him. There's a covenant. And that covenant was established between Jonathan and David. And we know about that covenant. Jonathan was adamant about David taking care of his family if anything was ever to happen to him. And it was a covenant based on trust. And we know that Mephibosheth was 5 years old when his daddy died, when his grandfather died. And may I suggest to you that Mephibosheth probably had no knowledge of that covenant. He had no understanding at 5 years old that his daddy had made a covenant with the right man. A man after God's own heart that would keep the covenant. And at 5 years old, he had no idea. And maybe now as a father, and I don't know what age he is, maybe he's 25 or so and he has a young son. And may I say 20 years later, David comes looking to find out if there's any son left that he can keep that covenant. And you know, he goes in the start of chapter number 9 to a man named Ziba, and he asks if there's any left. And Ziba says there is one, and he's down in Lodabar. And we know the story of how David sends a messenger down to Lodabar to find Mephibosheth. It's a type of Christ seeking after us. Would you agree with that? And down in Lodabar, we know that Mephibosheth is lame because at 5 years old, he was dropped. And he became lame. He became imperfect. And David and Mephibosheth had never seen each other before. Mephibosheth knew there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But even with that long war going on, there was a covenant between two men that David was going to honor. And I want you to see very quickly, if you would. Notice, if you would, notice verse number 6 of chapter number 9. The Bible says when Mephibosheth was getting ready to come in and come before David, them having never seen each other before, notice at the end of verse 6, and David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." Notice the exclamation point. You say, what do you think Mephibosheth is thinking right now? I'm suggesting to you that he knew nothing about the covenant. I'm suggesting that he knew everything about the long-term war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Because David has to say this in verse number 7, and David said unto him, say it, fear not. I suggest to you that when Mephibosheth first saw David, he was afraid, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing why he was called, not knowing about the covenant. Fearing, if you would, what David would be calling him for. And before the whole thing is over, David said, fear not. I'll surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. May I remind you that there's kindness from God for us because of Jesus. Amen. And may I say to you that, then he says, and we'll restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. We know Mephibosheth is going to become an adopted son. Would you agree with that? And as an adopted son, he's going to sit there at the table and enjoy all the benefits of being the son of one of the kings. But may I say to you that that covenant is going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged from within. The only players we've read about so far is David, Mephibosheth, and a man named Ziba. You know, a lot of times the trust that gets challenged in our churches is not from outside our churches. It's from inside. May I say to you that maybe you're 10 years or less as a pastor and God's beginning maybe to add to your church a little bit. Maybe you're in here and you're a member of one of those churches. I want to show you something about Mephibosheth, because so far Mephibosheth is just a recipient. But I want you to know something. Mephibosheth as a man is a very powerful individual. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and look at chapter number 16. Chapter number 16. What's going to happen in chapter number 16? David is going through a very difficult time. And notice chapter number 16, 2 Samuel, and look at verse 1. And the Bible says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, look who comes to meet him. Behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him. I want you to know, while David was walking up that hill, he's walking up Mount Olivet. You'll see it in chapter 15, verse 30. He's weeping. His head's covered. He's barefooted. He's grieving. The people around him are mourning. Why? Absalom is trying to take over the kingdom, and while he's walking up that hill, he finds out one of his closest counselors, Ahithophel, has also turned against him. And when that happens, he feels that sense of gross betrayal. I know we're not supposed to talk about that, but may I say to you, once in a while, there's betrayal in Christianity. And it's like a knife through the heart. And David's walking up this hill weeping and barefooting, and he already knows his son's against him, and then he finds out Ahithophel's against him, and he doesn't know who to trust. And if you read Psalms 55, he's a little confused right now. He says his heart is sore pained within him. He said, oh, that he have wings like a dove, then he'd fly away and be at rest. You say, what do you mean? He was thinking in his mind, if I could just get out of this somehow. You say, well, pastors should never think about that. Oh, if I could just get away from this somehow. Well, pastors, leaders should never think about that. Oh, if I could go to the desert and just be away from this for a while. Don't tell me those thoughts don't come once in a while. Oh, no, not here, not at the leadership conference. Okay, but behind the scenes, privately, David's going through great turmoil. And notice who shows up to take advantage. The Bible says, verse 1 again, chapter 16, 1, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Ziba was assigned to oversee all that David gave Mephibosheth to own. David gave Mephibosheth all that pertained to the house of Saul, and Ziba was supposed to manage it. And the Bible says he shows up there with a couple of asses saddled, some donkeys and bread, large quantities of raisins and summer fruits and wine. No doubt he got it all from the property, if you would, of Mephibosheth. And he brings all that. And verse number 2, the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? What's this all about? May I remind you that David's mindset is a little skeptical and a little wondering and a little insecure maybe. He's just heard about Ahithophel. And Ziba says the asses be for the king's household to ride on. The bread and the summer fruit of the young men to eat. The wine, that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. I want to say this to you. When the king says, what meanest thou by these? I think he had something else in his mind. Because the next thing he says in verse 3, the king said, where's thy master's son? Where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, I want you to know what Ziba is about ready to tell us is a lie. It's slander. It's discord. It's to try to break apart a covenant a little bit. It's to try to break the trust. It's try to create a little doubt. Because Ziba says, here's what Mephibosheth said today. Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. What he just said was, Mephibosheth said that he's supposed to be the rightful king. What a lie. In fact, isn't it interesting that Ziba's out on a power trip and he's trying to make it that Mephibosheth's on a power trip? May I say to you that once in a while people show up in church and they don't have the agenda of trust in mind. You say, don't say that. Everything's supposed to be positive. People show up at church once in a while and they have a different agenda. And may I just say it this way? And they're slick. What do you mean they're slick? They're wise concerning the wrong things. They know how to manipulate. They know how to work it. Chances are they've practiced somewhere else before they came to your church. I shouldn't say that, but my experience is once in a while they come in and they know what to say. They know how to say it. They know how to act. They build the trust. But they have a plan. It's very interesting. They often come to churches that are just in their first 10 years. Is that okay to say that? You say, why are you saying it? Because as a pastor and as members, I don't want you to walk around and go home and say, Pastor, where's Ziba? I'll get him. Because I'll tell you the truth, as a young pastor, I didn't even know he showed up. What do you mean? You should know. I didn't even know he showed up. I was taken in. I trusted. I thought you could trust Christians. And Ziba says, Mephibosheth, he didn't come. He's back at Jerusalem, and he said that rightfully he should get the kingdom. And David's already dealing in his mind with Absalom. And David's already dealing in his mind with Ahithophel. And when he hears about what Mephibosheth said, supposedly, he believes it. Because his mind is already weak. He's already tired. He's already fatigued. Nothing's surprising him right now. He's already on guard. And when he hears about Mephibosheth, he totally believes what Ziba says. And notice what he does. Stay with me. And notice he says this, verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. What is he saying? Well, he said to Ziba, I'm giving you everything that I gave Mephibosheth. You're in charge, and now you own all that land and everything that's out there. And notice Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee. Oh, I can't stand that. I would never name my child Ziba. I humbly beseech thee. I hate when people have false humility and know how to work it. I humbly beseech thee. I can just see the act going on. That I might find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King. Take your Bible and look at chapter number 19. And we're almost finished. Chapter number 19. Almost is a Baptist term that means nothing, amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 19. I want you to just read for yourself verse 17 and see that Ziba's keeping close in to David. You say, what do you mean? When he conducts him over, Ziba's there. All his sons are there. His servants are there. He's protecting what he's planted. What do you mean? He's planted a seed of doubt. And he's right there near David. Look at verse number 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed unto the day he came again in peace. Culturally, Mephibosheth was in mourning. Culturally, Mephibosheth was in prayer. Culturally, if you would, Mephibosheth was concerned about his king, David. And the Bible says, verse 25, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king said, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? May I ask you to mark in your Bible, David already had him guilty, didn't he? Where were you, Mephibosheth? I heard what you said. Why didn't you come with me? You know what's implied? I sought you. I found you. I made you one of my sons. I gave you all this. And what's implied is almost, I don't want to embellish it, but why'd you turn on me? Because David already has him judged as guilty. And may I say something right here? If you're a member of a congregation, allow your pastor once in a while to make a mistake. I'll say it again. If you're a member of a congregation, his first 10 years, let him make a mistake or two before you throw him out the window, because he is human. Because if you go to a church and he's in his first 10 years or so, and he makes a mistake, and you leave there and go to another church in his first 10 years and he makes a mistake, and you go to another, and you'll be in churches the rest of your life. I got to tell you, even in his first 20 years, he might make a couple of mistakes. What do you mean mistakes? Judgment calls. What do you mean judgment calls? You know, it's a tendency for pastors to believe people. And sometimes we don't know when we've been had. What do you mean had? We don't know when we've been manipulated. We don't know when someone took advantage of us. He said, you should know that. I don't walk in when somebody walks in the door thinking, he's out to get me. I think it's good to have you. Are you saved yet? And if you're saved, how can we help you if you need some help? I don't think when they walk in the door, that one's out to get me. And the Bible says very clearly, verse 26, Mephibosheth answered, he said, my Lord, O king, my servant, speaking about Ziba, deceived me. For thy servant, he says, he's talking about himself in the third person. He said, for thy servant, meaning himself, Mephibosheth said, I will saddle me an ass, that I might ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. Mephibosheth says, I purpose to come. I was going to get a saddle on a donkey, and I was coming. And I don't know what happened there, but evidently Ziba manipulated in such a way, either mentally or maybe he took all the donkeys with him. I don't know, but I know that Mephibosheth could not get to David because he was lame. And he has slandered, so discord, whispered, gossiped, accused, whatever you want to say, he slandered thy servant. He slandered me unto my Lord the King. But my Lord the King is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. I got to tell you, the spirit of Mephibosheth as a man starts coming out. Not only is he a recipient of grace from David, but he starts exercising grace in this situation. He says to David, and may I say to you, if you read it carefully, Mephibosheth already knows what's happened. Words already got back to him. He already knew that he's been slandered. He's already known, and when you say slandered, thrown under the bus and run over a couple of times. He already knows that. He already knows that David's believed it. He already knows that David's passed judgment. He already knows that Ziba now has all that pertaineth to the house of Saul. He already knows that, but he's not bitter about it. Because he says, if you would, do all that is in thine heart. He still trusts David. Verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men. before my Lord the King. You know, where all my father's house, all of the house of Saul, you didn't have to do anything for us. You didn't have to come after us. You didn't have to protect us. In fact, culturally, it was very common for them to wipe out all the males. That's why Mephibosheth was down in Lodabar, just quietly living his life with a new son named Micah. Yet, didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine table. You came to me. You found me. You know I was afraid. You put me at ease. You gave me a seat at your table. You made me like one of your sons. You made me adopted. You kept your covenant with my father. And then he says this, and you talk about a good attitude. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more to the king? I got to tell you something. One of the greatest things I think about this is when you're a pastor and you're being put in a rock and a hard spot. What do you mean? Well, one family is coming to you about this, and it has to do with another family. And the other family is coming to you about the family who came to you, and they're saying, you judge this, pastor. We trust you. And what they're saying is, we trust you as long as you judge for us. And we're just humans. And we realize if we judge this way, we're dinged. And if we judge this way, we're dong. Ding dong, ding dong, we're wrong both ways. And may I say to you church members in here, that's what causes this. Pastor. You say, what do you mean? That's what makes you lay awake and sleep at night. And not sleep because you don't want to hurt people. You're not on this face of this earth to hurt people. Especially those families have teenagers. And you think about the adults, but then you think about the teenagers, the effect on the Micahs, on Mephibosheth's Micah. And Micah has this spirit and attitude that says, what right do I have to cry before the king? May I make this statement to you? Mephibosheth is able to see the big picture. And the big picture doesn't have him in the middle. You say, why? He never attacks Ziba to David. He just said, he slandered me. He doesn't say, go get him. He doesn't say, don't you know what he did to me? Don't you know that I had purposed to come and he manipulated it. He took the donkey from me. I couldn't come. I'm lame. So I've been praying for you, been thinking about you. And then you believed him about me. How could you believe him, David, about me? He never said any of that. And then, David, you made a decision to give him everything, and how could you do that about me? He never puts David in that situation because he thinks of himself and says, who am I? What am I? What is my matter compared to what the king has to deal with? Well, I tell you what, if we had churches of Mephibosheths, I would have hair. I'm making a little light of it, but I want you to tell you, it affects a pastor. It can affect a pastor's wife. It can affect, Lord willing not, but a pastor's older children. The Bible says this, watch it carefully. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more to the king? Verse 29, and the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Do you see a little reversal there? What do you mean? David reversed his position a little bit. He had just said, Ziba, you get it all. And when he heard that, he didn't know who to believe. And it was so much draining on him. He said, look, don't speak any more about this. Here's my judgment. You and Ziba divide the land. A little reversal. You know what that tells me? Look up here. David's human. He doesn't know who to believe. Who do you believe? Well, this one says this, and this one says this, and how do you judge it? What are you speaking about? I'm speaking about trust in the church and the importance of trust building in the church. and to have a Mephibosheth, that David is not put in that position where he has to make a decision, and where Mephibosheth is making a big deal about it, because the way this all ends up is this. And the king said unto him, verse 29, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I'm not going to make this bigger than it is. We've got bigger things to do. Let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. As long as you're King David, that's all that matters. As long as you're in position, that's all that matters. As long as it's not Absalom, as long as it's not Ahithophel, as long as you're where you're supposed to be. And may I say this, David made a decision initially to judge Mephibosheth, maybe in the wrong way. He corrects it a little bit later. It's a somewhat small matter, because God never holds David accountable for this. David was perfect in all his ways, except in the matter of Uriah. What do you mean? David made a judgment mistake, but God overlooked it. Pastor, be careful about climbing all over yourself. What do you mean? You made a decision, you made a judgment call, and maybe you found out it wasn't quite the right one. Maybe you got duped a little bit. Maybe you got manipulated a little bit. Maybe even some members of the congregation knows about it. Are you following what I'm saying or not? What you don't want to do, church member, is come and attack your pastor for being human. Because everybody gets manipulated once in a while. Better yet, if you hear about it, be a Mephibosheth. And if you're involved in it, be a Mephibosheth. If you're one directly involved in it, just say, Pastor, we trust your judgment. Whatever you have to judge on this, we trust. We're just glad you are our pastor. That will allow the preacher to go home and sleep a little bit at night. You say, was David still in the covenant? Well, look at one more chapter and we'll be done. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. And notice when they're getting ready to kill Saul's sons to make, if you would, the payment for the Gibeonites. Look at verse 7, 21:7. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of what? Because of what? Say it again. The Lord's oath. Say it again. The what? The Lord's oath. And we have the Lord's oath between each other. That was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. David stayed in the covenant with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had a great spirit and a great attitude. May I ask you to do this? If you have a situation at your church and you're a member there and you hear about it, be careful about repeating it to everybody. Be careful about passing along the pastor's faults. I'm not saying making him look perfect, but may I say, to his own master, he stands or falls. Some of that judgment may not need to be yours if it's just a matter of, it's not necessarily immorality. It's not necessarily improprieties. It's just a judgment call that he had to make, that he was put in that situation. Think about keeping the trust. Think about keeping the trust. Think about keeping the trust. If you have 40 or 50 people in your church now, think about keeping the trust. If you have 100 or 110 people in your church, think about keeping the trust. If you have 150 or 180, think about keeping the trust. You see, there's no small or large. If you have 1,000, you still have to think about keeping the trust. You just have to think about it more. Because there's more people that can have divisions and schisms and improprieties with each other. And may I say, they're probably not in here today. Whatever you do, don't ever be a Ziba. Don't ever come in and work against one another. I could give you a few illustrations. So could other pastors. We're not perfect. I brought a person off the mission field that I was really concerned about and trying to help. I didn't know that he had these tendencies. That he was somewhat of a professional liar. He said, "You shouldn't be saying that. It may happen." The person you try to help, the person you try to reach out to help, might have a tendency to come in and begin to work against you. They're not bad people. They're just immature. But I'm going to tell you something. They can work to try to tear a church up. If you're going through that right now, Pastor, please be careful about blaming yourself too much, because so have we. We have had that. We have gone through that. Brother Fisher, you know what? You're supposed to be saying something positive. I'm positive sure if that you have Mephibosheth, you will have the trusts in your church. Because Mephibosheth minimizes who they are and what they are and how big their problems are, and can see the big picture and can accept your answer and move on and not get bitter, because they're thinking about, I got a Micah. I got a son. And I want him to think well of David. And I want him to be in this covenant. Because me being as one of the sons makes my son as one of the grandsons. And I don't want to ruin my son's attitude towards our king. It's a much better way to live life.